chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, explains the gifts of the Spirit here. What are the gifts of the Spirit? They're manifestations. They're showings of what God can do and what He does. And it says in verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, this is not Rhea. This is a manifestation of the what? Of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Amen? And it says, is given to every man. Say every man.
Every man.
Every man. That includes you. Say that includes me. Yeah, that includes you. Every man. It doesn't say just the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, apostles. It doesn't say that in there, does it? It says what? Every man. So these gifts have been given to who? Every man. Oh, you don't sound convinced. Who are the gifts of the Spirit given to? To every man. To do what? To profit with all. To profit. And so when we get up here and sometimes we say, well, I saw something or I heard something or, do you understand? Or I've kind of felt something. What we're doing is we're yielding to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost, through the grace of the Holy Ghost, is manifesting Himself in our presence. And I like change. See, God will never, 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 never fail. Never. Right? Never fail. All right? But He has a word for us this morning. Are you ready? All right, got to pull it up on my screen. This is good word, people. Hallelujah. Acts 7, 30 through 33, it's talking about Moses in the wilderness. And it says, and when 40 years were expired, there appeared to Moses in the wilderness, a mount of Sinai, an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. Do you remember that story? It was a true story. It was not hypothetical. It wasn't a fairy tale. It wasn't a myth. It was a true story. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came to him. Now, you know, sometimes in today's society, we think if we hear a voice, we're crazy. I guess they called Moses crazy too. But Moses heard a voice. And it said, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then Moses trembled, wouldn't you? Oh, my goodness. And then he said to the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And as they were singing, I realized that the place that God was talking about was His presence before Moses. And Moses took his sandals off and became barefoot in God's presence. He, in a sense, became naked before God in His presence. But you know, 1 Corinthians chapters 3 and chapter 6 say that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And as we were doing praise and worship, I heard the Lord say, not an audible voice, just an impression, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. But He concluded by saying this, wherever you go is holy ground. Whether your holy ground is Walmart, your house, your backyard, your vacation, wherever you go, His presence is with you at all times. He's never failed. He'll never forsake. He'll never leave. So wherever you are, there is holy ground. Isn't that awesome? What a visual. God likes to talk to us and show us things. He said that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. Now, don't you think that by what happened today, that this is a manifestation of the grace of God telling us and encouraging us, prophesying to us that we're always on holy ground? That's encouraging. So that's why we operate in the gifts of the Spirit here. That's why we pray in tongues here. Because when we pray in tongues, it is a manifestation or an evidence of the grace gifts of God. The grace gifts are called charisma. They are a grace gift based on the unmerited of favor. See, I couldn't do anything to deserve it. I couldn't earn it. There's no way Rhea by herself is good at anything. But with God, all things are possible. So you need to say right now, I'm standing on holy ground. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you may be seated. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. We have been praying this morning already for someone who got injured just this morning at a local business and was hit in the eyes with a hose, a very powerful hose, and they have been bleeding from both eyes. So that prayer request came in this morning, and we've already been praying over that and speaking full restoration to these eyes. I don't know this person, but God does. Right? I don't know whether this person is born again or not, but you know what? Being born again doesn't automatically say you're going to be healed. It's what you believe and what you receive. But I believe, as a testimony of God's goodness and God's grace, that this person is coming out of this in Jesus' name. Have you heard a report? Vision is perfect. That's what I was praying for. Vision is perfect. No scratches, no bleeding. They were actually bleeding from the eyes. Let's stand up and give God glory. Hallelujah! We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Father God. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord, for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for showing up. Hallelujah! Thank you for a good testimony. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? Well, that was a quick work. And that's what we expect. Amen. You know, this song they sang, it's called Do It Again. But do you know what the word testimony means? Do it again. That's why it's so important that we testify about the goodness of God, because what it does is it ignites a passion in other people to have a personal testimony. You know, if he's done it for one, he does it for another. Amen. So I'm just excited about the word of God here. And I wanted to receive the morning tithes and offerings this morning. You know, if it wasn't for the financial blessings that come through this church, we would not be able to broadcast where we broadcast. We would not be able to send missionaries where they need to go. We would not be able to even take care of the business of the church around here. We wouldn't be able to feed the poor. We wouldn't be able to clothe them. So God wants us to prosper in every way so that we can be a blessing. See, if we don't have it, we can't bless it. We can't use it to bless someone. All right? So I want you to look. Don't you just love the word? I love the word. It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 and 8. It says, every man, say every man, please. Who's that? Every man, right? According to as he purposes in his heart. See, I can't put purpose in your heart. Only you can put a purpose in your heart, right? But let every man, according as he purposes in his heart, let him give. Not grudgingly. It's not like, oh my gosh, do I have to give again? That's grudgingly, right? Or of necessity. Oh gosh, if I don't give, then I'm not going to have a full supply. You know, God supplied for you even when you didn't have anything to give. For God loves what? A cheerful giver. You know, don't be like Stretch Armstrong and put your money in the plate, and then the next thing you know, your arm's all the way down at the end of the row wanting to hold on to it, right? Let it go. And look what happens. And God, say, and God is able to make how much of grace? All grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. That's a lot of all, right? Now, what does it say? It says that you, toward you, say toward me, toward me, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things. See, I used to be told that we had to give before we could be supplied for. But that's not true. According to this verse, it says that we have the all sufficiency in all things so that we can do what? We can abound to every good work. So there's a lot of good works going on here at Victory and abroad, wherever we send it, right? We take care of people here locally and abroad. And we're just so thankful for your faithfulness to help support the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for your presence. You never leave us. You never forsake us. Father God, wherever we are is holy ground. And we thank you, Father God, that you have blessed us abundantly, fully, fully restored, fully in every area of our lives, so that what, not only are we blessed, but we are a blessing. So I speak a blessing over every household this morning. And I thank you, Father God, for your goodness and your mercy. And it endures forever and ever in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to say one more thing before Pastor gets started here, and that is please read your bulletin. There's a lot of good things going on, a lot of information. Small groups have started again. So if you will go ahead and receive that offering.
So we're studying the subject of the Holy Spirit. Yes. And in that study, we're studying the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Say that out loud, 9 gifts. 9 gifts. Poke your neighbor and say, there's 9 gifts of the Spirit. They're listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can read verses 1 through 11, and you'll find that there are 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost. Those gifts are the tools of Christians. They're the tools of Spirit-filled Christians, and we need to learn. I want us to become PhDs in the Holy Spirit. Get our PhD in the Holy Spirit, all right? And so we're in that season. I don't know how long that season's going to last. It might last a week. It might last a month. It might last a year. It might last 10 years. But we are going to fulfill the assignment of being familiar and recognize the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the best way to recognize the Holy Spirit is to find out what God says about him in the Bible. Right. I don't want your version of the Holy Spirit without the Bible. Right. Exactly. That's a wacky spirit. Yeah. But the Holy Spirit, when you're not familiar with what the Bible says about him, when you see him in manifestation through people, you might call it weird because you don't know what the Bible says about him. Do you know Jesus spit on people?
Yeah, sure.
That's weird. If you had gone to a church and saw me spit on somebody, you might get up and leave offended. But that's because you don't know that our Lord and Savior, God in the flesh, spat upon people. But here's the difference. When he was led by the Holy Spirit and spat, people were healed.
Yes.
Now, why did he spit? Because the Holy Spirit, by the gifts of the Spirit, told him to.
Yes.
To spit. He actually one time spit in the dirt, made mud, and smeared spittle mud. That's gross. Speared mud on a man's eyes, and then told the man to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Yeah. Do you really have to go through all that? Apparently you do. Yeah. And why did Jesus do that? And the man came back seeing, had eyeballs grow into his sockets. Why was that successful? Because Jesus listened to the Holy Spirit. He listened to the gifts of the Spirit. That was word of wisdom, which was direction by the Holy Spirit, followed by working of miracles, the creation of an organ that wasn't there.
Yep.
Now, we've seen over 600 people healed in this church.
Yeah.
We're going to see body parts grow before Jesus comes back. We're going to see amputated limbs grow back before Jesus comes back, called working of miracles.
Yep.
But it's not all on God to make that happen. There is a cooperation between us and God. If it was all God, he wouldn't have to put things in the Bible about how to flow with it. It would just happen, right? So there is a cooperation between man and God in all 9 of these gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so the assignment is teach on it. Educate yourself. Become familiar with the Holy Ghost. And I want to say that in America, the Holy Spirit has been summarily dismissed. But not here.
No.
When you have the Lord Jesus Christ himself appear to you in a vision, in a dream, and hold his hands out and look at you and say with pity, what are you doing? And I answer, I don't know, Lord. That's a good answer, right? Because if he asked you, apparently you don't know. I don't know, Lord, because it's a dream. I couldn't control it. And then he asked me, I know I've repeated this dream, but I'm going to keep on repeating it. Then he asked me, and he was so concerned. He said, why aren't you holding his hands like this? Why aren't you accessing your help? And he had such a concern for me. And I knew what he meant intuitively. Why aren't you praying much in the Holy Spirit? Why aren't you praying much in tongues? Why aren't you accessing it? And so my answer to him was, well, is an hour a day enough? As if, what will it take to make you happy? He looked at me and smiled. He said, is that all the help you need? That was the end of the dream. No, I need a lot more help than that.
Yeah. Me too.
So, is that in the Bible? Well, sure. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. This isn't the message. I'm still warming up. Verse 1. Amen. Guys, we're past the day of three songs in a sermon and roast beef from McDonald's. If the Spirit of God's done in 30 minutes, we're out of here. If the Spirit of God's done in 3 hours, we're not out of here until then. But if it's in the Spirit and you are flowing in that, it won't feel like 3 hours to you either.
That's right.
One time we had a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in such magnitude in this church that there is one manifestation of the Holy Spirit where a holy silence comes on the people.
Yes, we did.
No one wants to talk. No kids cried. Nope. Nobody sneezed. Nobody coughed. Nope. Nothing. And from noon, when the Holy Spirit was in manifestation, it was so thick you could cut it with a knife. Yep. And no one wanted to disturb it. Nobody suddenly had to go pee.
Nope.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And until 2:30, 2.5 hours, we sat in absolute holy silence in the presence of a manifestation of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
No one said to do it. I just couldn't get up from my seat. I didn't want to disturb this awesome peace. And then about around 2:30, 2:45, it began to lift. And everybody just intuitively just got up one at a time, picked their stuff up, went home. Nobody talked to anybody. You didn't want to disturb what God was doing. I tell you, once you've had a manifestation like that, three songs, a sermon, and a taco just doesn't cut it.
Right.
And again, if he's done in 30 minutes, we're done.
That's right.
Right? We're not trying to wear out the saints.
Right.
But 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, pursue love. The whole motive of all of it's love. Yes. Not showing anything. You're not showing off your spirituality. Pursue love. Say that out loud. I'm pursuing love. In other words, you're making it your goal to walk in love toward everybody. The love of God. Now, the love of God is not the same as the love of the world. The love of the world says, even if you're killing yourself with your lifestyle choice, I'll love you, but I won't say anything to you. In other words, permissiveness is not love. When you have the love of God, you will speak the truth. In love. That means I don't agree with every lifestyle choice. But I love the person. Enough to tell them, that'll get you in hell. That'll hurt you. That'll destroy you. You keep that up, you're going to shorten your life. I don't agree with it because it's not, the Bible doesn't agree with it. That's love. But the world's view, the political correct view of love is, if I love you, I will never disagree with you. But I'm telling you, if I love you, I will disagree with you if God disagrees with you. Because I love you. I love my children enough to tell them they're not allowed to play in the street. They got offended. I don't care. Get out of the street. I love my kids enough to tell them drugs destroy. It's not okay. Amen. So love is not permissiveness. So when we're pursuing love, we're pursuing a love that loves enough to be unpopular if necessary. But that's not the end of the verse. And desire spiritual gifts. That's as important as pursuing love. That's just as important as pursuing love. There are some pastors and some preachers and some churches and some seminars that say, well, you know, you guys are all about the gifts of the Spirit. We're about love. I would rather have love than all this other stuff. No, I'm not an either-or thinker. I'm a Bible thinker, both and. Pursue love and, not pursue love or. When you pursue the love of God, you hunger for the gifts because you know that to touch hurting humanity, you need the Holy Spirit's help. It's one thing to take flowers to a person dying of cancer. It's another thing to take gifts of healings and heal them of the cancer. It's one thing to take a box of chocolates to a suicidal, depressed person. It's another thing to take the gift of prophecy and prophesy and lift them up and set them free. Why don't you just take the flowers and the Holy Spirit? Take the chocolate and the gifts of the Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
Mow their lawn and heal their body.
Right.
Amen. But especially that you may prophesy, be used by God to speak supernaturally to other people, as we were experiencing in this service already by the singers. They got off script and were singing things by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That was to honor God, but also to edify us. And the things that she spoke by inspiration of the Spirit to edify God and to honor us. Amen. Jeff, where are you, Jeff? He's guarding the front door. Jeff Fields at work this week, a young Hispanic man, was a truck driver, very proud of his family, but he misses being home. He doesn't like having to drive a truck and be away from his family. And Jeff noticed his keychain had a little 99-cent hammer on it, and he said his son had given that to him. And so as they're unloading the truck, you know, Jeff is just being loving toward him. And as he's getting ready to get back on the truck, he said, "Can I pray with you?" Now, that's on the clock. He's on the clock. It's not church. He goes, sure. So Jeff lays his hands on him and prays for God just to bless him and just to go through. And he said, "I just want to tell you that just as your son gave you that hammer, that very hammer is the grace of God. It's symbolic of the grace of God working in your life to build you and your family up." And he opened his eyes, and that guy was so excited. He said, "Man, I can't believe you said that." He said, "I cannot wait to get home." Simple gift of prophecy, speaking by inspiration of the Spirit. We need to pay attention to those Holy Spirit moments where God's trying to reach people. It's not just in a service, not just in a church service. God wants to use you in the gifts of the Spirit. But we have to hear and recognize him. I want us to so recognize the Holy Spirit in our gatherings that you become so in tune with how he operates, what he does, that when you're your family, with your family, where you're working, when you're at Walmart on holy ground, or wherever you might be, you recognize the Holy Spirit to know he's leading me to do something. That person right there, that's who he wants me to talk to. Amen. Who all believes we need to recognize the Holy Spirit? Because we're not going to win the lost by hoping and a praying that they'll come through the door. It ain't going to happen. It's going to happen when you become a vessel, a person yielded to the Holy Spirit who draws people to the Father. But he uses people to do it. So say this out loud. I'm able to hear the Holy Spirit. Jesus said so. He said, my sheep know my voice, and they will not follow another. I am God's sheep, and I know his voice. Don't ever say I can't hear God because you're calling Jesus a liar. You can hear God. If you're born again, you can hear the Lord. You're led by the Holy Spirit. Don't let guilt, shame, and condemnation disqualify you from the very things that Jesus' blood qualified you for. Man, say it out loud. I'm qualified by the blood of Jesus. Amen. See, the devil and religion wants you focusing on your performance. The gospel wants you focusing on Jesus' performance. You want to talk about my qualifications? I am USDA grade A blood bought. Packaged by the Holy Spirit and sent into the world with no expiration date. But some of us need to get off the shelf of inactive Christianity and get into somebody's life. Praise God. Amen. So pursue love. Desire gifts, especially that you can speak supernaturally to build somebody up, to lift someone up. God wants you off the bench and in the game. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, so verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue, this is a supernatural tongue given to you when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So it's a prayer language. It's a prayer tongue. It's designed first and foremost when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you receive your prayer language. It is first and foremost designed for you to talk to God. Are you listening? Now, I have often heard this from sincere people, people that are sincere but sincerely ignorant. And not they sincerely don't know. They say, well, now, wait a minute. If you're going to have any tongue, you have to have someone there to interpret. Listen, sweetheart, I'm not bringing people into my prayer closet where I'm intimate with the Father. And God doesn't need my tongue interpreted. He's the one that gave me the tongue. He understands what I'm saying. Now, out in public, when I'm giving a message, it's not going to help anybody unless it gets interpreted. So, but in my prayer closet, I'm telling you what, in my car is a prayer closet. Yes. My bed is a prayer closet. Yeah. My kitchen is a prayer closet. Yes. Amen. The bathroom is a prayer closet. Yeah. My life is a prayer closet. Yeah. That's right. I pray as I go. Yes. I don't have time to be on my knees 8 and 10 hours a day, just in one spot. I've got things to do. But the powerful thing about praying in tongues is you can pray as you go. Yes. You can do dishes while you're praying in the Spirit. Yes. You can read your Bible while you're praying in the Spirit. In fact, if you'll pray in tongues while you read your Bible, you'll get more out of your Bible. Yeah. Revelation flows when you pray much in tongues. If you're not getting much out of the Bible, receive the Holy Spirit, start praying in tongues, talk to God in the Spirit, and you'll find more revelation coming out of the Bible than you even know what to do with it. Yeah. You'll forget more than you heard. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So he says, when I speak in a tongue, I do not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Mysteries? Well, why would I be speaking mysteries? Because you don't want the devil to know what you're saying. And not only that, the word mystery here doesn't mean something hidden from you. It means something hidden for you. And it gets unlocked through tongues. Your future is a mystery. 1 o'clock today is a mystery because you haven't been there. 10:15 this morning is a mystery because you haven't been there. And so if you want it to play out, you better make sure it gets prayed out. Are you listening? There are airline pilots cannot fly commercial until they know how to do instrument fly by instrument. They can't just look out the window and say, I think that's a cloud out there. We better avoid that thing. You don't want to be on a jet with all he knows how to do is look out the window. He's got to be able, when he's in the middle of a cloud or at nighttime or in the middle of a thunderstorm, he's got to know how to first hear headquarters, hear the tower to tell him to change his direction. He has to be able to hear, but he has to also be able to look at his instruments and fly without seeing what he's seeing, but he sees everything he needs to see because the equipment's right in front of him. The same thing is true of a Spirit-filled Christian. You may look out and see lots of clouds, lots of storm, a lot of danger, but you need to look at the panel, pray in tongues, and be listening and watching the Spirit panel, amen, to know, go here, go there, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Amen. Len Mink is a powerful minister of the gospel. He was driving down Interstate 40. He and his wife Kathy were driving down Interstate 40 from one service, a traveling minister, to another. And the Holy Spirit whispered a word of wisdom inside of him and said, for the next 5 miles, drive 5 miles over the speed limit. Speed up 5 miles. I know you're thinking, God wouldn't tell anyone to do that. Well, he drove for 5 minutes over 5 miles over the speed limit. At the end of the 5 minutes, as he began to slow down, he looked in the rearview mirror, and an avalanche had occurred, and boulders as big as his car came tumbling down onto I-40, covered up I-40. He would have either been in the middle of that and dead, or totally stopped and not making it to his next event. But because the Holy Spirit manifested a word of wisdom, which is supernatural direction, he avoided death. He was flying by the instrument panel, not by his eyes. Praise God. Isn't that good? We want to walk in revelation. So he speaks mysteries. We need to be praying out the mystery of our life, the mystery of tomorrow, the mystery of whatever's going on. See, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues, you're praying ahead of the problem, not after the problem. We need to be praying prophetically, not praying pathetically. You'll get it. Nothing wrong with praying after the problem. But now go to John. Well, I'll quote it. John 16:13. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but he'll speak what he hears, and he will show you things to come. As we're praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will begin to show you things to come. That's good news. Now, I said, do we have to go through all of that? Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Do you understand? The Bible just says that we have weaknesses. Right? This word weaknesses is the Greek word meaning lack of strength, lack of ability. Now, we have the Holy Spirit in us, so technically we don't lack ability, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But you're not wall-to-wall Holy Ghost in your mind yet. And you're not wall-to-wall Holy Spirit in your body yet. Your spirit is born again, and your spirit is wall-to-wall Holy Spirit, but you have some degree of stinking thinking. Your soul needs a little bit of work. And this is exactly what's being revealed here. The Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, our lack of abilities. Well, what are these weaknesses? Here it is. He's going to tell you what your weakness is. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. You don't know how to pray without the help of the Holy Spirit. You don't know what to pray for. Okay, say this out loud. The Bible says, I don't know what to pray for as I ought. So if you're leaning purely on your mind, you're praying what you think you ought to be praying for, but it's not as you ought, because you don't know the spiritual root of all of it. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You don't know what's happening in the heart and mind of that person. But praise God for this. But, he says, but the Spirit himself, praise God, makes intercession for us with groanings. And this Greek word, it could be sighings or whisperings. You know one thing I noticed about praying in the Spirit? Most of it's under my breath whispering, because you don't have to wear your voice out praying 10 and 12 hours a day.
That's right.
You can whisper. Hannah whispered. Hannah just moved her mouth. Eli the priest thought she was drunk. She said, I'm not drunk, I'm grieved. I want a son. And she was praying to God, just moving her lips. And Eli said, God has heard your prayer. Even when you're just moving your lips, no one else heard it, but God hears it. And this is the whisperings, the intimate whisperings in tongues that he's talking about, which cannot be uttered. What it means is it can't be uttered with your normal articulate speech. One lady came up after hearing this verse preached. She said, "Praise God, I'm so glad the Holy Spirit is doing all of my praying for me. I haven't prayed a lick since I heard that verse. I haven't prayed at all since I've heard that verse because he's praying for me." That's not what this is saying. He's working on your behalf by giving you utterance, by giving you sighings, by giving you groanings, which you could not speak if you didn't have the Holy Ghost in you. Are you listening? Now, I can prove that by the scripture, I can prove to you that it's not just the Holy Spirit out there praying for you. I'm going to prove it to you. Jesus said, in John chapter 14, verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. I want you to see that it's not just him praying for you, it's you yielding to him, and he's praying for you through you. He'll use your own mouth. Now, John 14, 16, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Another what? Not another doer for you. Not another prayer for you, but a person in the person of the Holy Spirit who will help you. Right? He's not going to pray for you. He's going to help you pray, but his help is for you. So we overcome our weaknesses by the gifts of the Spirit, by praying in tongues, by praying in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, go back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. We need to hunger to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then don't just stop with being filled daily. Let the river of tongues, the river of supernatural prayer, flow out of your spirit unto God, and watch your life take on a supernatural element. Amen. I'm not going to live in the natural ever again. I've got too many t-shirts with bullet holes in it. And the Lord said to me, by the Spirit, he said to me, a lot of the things that have disappointed you is because you did not have your prayer shield up. He said, I don't know how you think you can walk through a war without swinging your sword or holding your shield up. He said, start praying every day in the Holy Ghost. Keep your sword swinging and your shield high. Amen. You know, you want to blame everybody else for your problems, but the Lord will just talk to you about you. Thank God he does, right? Yeah. So he says he helps us with our weaknesses, for we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings. The Holy Spirit's not the one that groans. We do. We do the sighing. We do the speaking with language that cannot be uttered. But notice verse 27, because we often stop in verse 26 and we leave the impact off. "Now he who searches the hearts while you're praying knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Thank God the Holy Spirit is in you, searching things out, helping you to intercede and making intercession for you, right? A saint. Apparently saints need to be prayed for. We're still talking about praying supernaturally in tongues. We're still on verse 26, but notice verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." Woo! That's worth shouting about. I'm going to have to read that again. "And we know." Say it, I know. You sure about that? You know what? Well, sometimes God does and sometimes God doesn't. Bless his holy name. Sometimes God just lets you have a car accident to teach you a thing or two. I've never seen a good car accident yet. No. Well, sometimes God lets cancer come on you to teach you something. No, I've never seen good cancer yet. Amen. I've never seen the doctor come out and say, "I've got some great news. You've got the worst cancer there is." No. Isn't that good? No. There's not even unsaved doctors know better.
Yeah. It's not good.
You know, you have to be trained in the church to be ignorant. Yeah. There's things that you're taught in church that makes you less intelligent than an unsaved person. like God put cancer on my child to teach me something.
No.
Even unsaved, cursing, alcoholic doctors know better than that.
That's right.
I say we stay with the Word and get church out of our system.
Sure.
I'd rather be Bible taught than church taught any day. In fact, I'd rather take a straight heathen off the street and teach him the Bible so he doesn't have to unlearn all the garbage we learned in church. Hallelujah. Thank God. I've gone to CA, Church Anonymous. I'm a recovering church member. You against the church? No, I'm not against the church. Not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am against ignorant religion. They tried to shove lies down your throat and didn't base it on the Bible. I think that's why I'm so careful just to make sure. And I don't get it all right. There's things I say, I'm like, that was not even right. Lord, help me to straighten that out, you know. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if it's not in the Bible, don't believe it.
Right.
Just don't.
Amen.
Do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen. So we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. But you cannot divorce verse 28 from verse 26. Verse 28 is the result of verse 26. Verse 28, all things are working together for the good because you are accessing the help of praying supernaturally in the Spirit, because just mental praying, you don't know what to pray for as you ought so that things work out for the good. But when you pray sighings in the Spirit, yielding to the help of the Holy Spirit, then you pray things out supernaturally. So supernaturally, things begin to work out for the good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Glory to God. So as you practice verse 26, you experience verse 28.
Yes. Yes.
Verse 28 does not belong to every Christian.
No.
It does belong to every Christian, but it doesn't work for every Christian. It works for every Spirit-filled Christian who is accessing their prayer help by praying much in and with the help of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Like Chancellor said, woo! We're listening to a pastor down in North Carolina, man. He's so full of the Holy Spirit, and he's talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and praying in tongues. He said, all of you need to set aside 5 hours and pray nonstop to God in the Spirit for 5 hours. If you've never done that, you need to set that on your calendar. 5 straight hours in the Holy Spirit. Because there are certain things that will not break in your flesh until you pray for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
I find when I'm praying in tongues, my flesh and my mind, if I haven't been doing it for a few hours or a couple of days, my mind and my flesh don't want to yield control. And so for about 45 minutes to an hour, it feels like hard work.
Yeah.
But there is a place where you break through that. And now you're flowing in it. It's just flowing out of your spirit. It's coming out of your belly. Your mind's basically going, oh, well, he's going to do it anyway. I might as well quit fighting it. And your flesh begins to get ministered to. You experience the peace of God. And you begin to experience your mind gets quiet. And you get in tune with the Holy Spirit. But you can't do that praying a little shita ba 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 once every 2 or 3 days. Some of you have received the Holy Spirit. That's different than being born again. And you haven't prayed in tongues for days. Some of you haven't prayed in tongues for weeks. Some of you haven't prayed in tongues for a month. Some of you haven't prayed in tongues for months. And you're trying to face a demon-infested world without the help of the Holy Spirit? I don't think so. Thank God for supernatural help.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, we're talking about how many of you know our culture has become politically incorrect, correct, and sensuality and sin and perversion right now is prevailing. Oh, you don't believe that? How many of you understand right now it's bad? Every child, by the time they're 12, has experienced things on the internet and seeing things on the internet you wouldn't even dream of seeing.
Right.
It's an epidemic.
Right.
By the time your child is 12, because of cell phones and the internet, they've already seen things they shouldn't see. Things that would embarrass you. Don't think that your kids are exempt from it. How are we going to rescue that generation? Jude chapter 19 and 20 and 21. That's how. Who all wants to make sure their kids are protected and get through the perversion? Huh? Go to Jude chapter 20. Jude chapter 19. Hey, Jude, don't look so sad. Jude chapter 19. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
This is good, man. It's one chapter. Jude's over there right before Revelation. Now, I want you to look at verse 19, which is the core of the book. Let's see. Let's go back to verse 17. No, let's go back to verse 16. Because you're going to see our landscape, our cultural landscape is described right here. These are grumblers, complainers. Can anybody say Facebook? Twitter. Walking according to their own lusts. I tell you what, there's parades for more perversion than anything. Walking, parading. Proud of it. I'm talking about all kinds.
Yeah.
They're parading. They're walking according to their own. They're demanding a parade for it.
Yep.
Does that describe us? And they mouth great swelling words.
Yeah.
Does that say politician? Media? Flattering people to gain advantage. Oh, you poor, abused group, people group. What, you need to watch out who flatters you because of what group you're in.
True.
When somebody's trying to flatter a particular part of a group in a society, it's not to bless that group. It's to use that group. To split and divide.
Yeah.
Flattery is evil.
Yeah, it is.
A compliment's one thing.
Right.
Flattery is another thing.
Right, yeah.
We need sensitivity in the Holy Spirit to know when we're being smoked and when we're genuinely being complimented.
Right.
I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to be so yielded to the Holy Spirit that whether it's praise or prison, our eyes are on Jesus.
Right.
Like Paul. You know, Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians while he was in prison. And he said, rejoice again. And I rejoice always. And I say rejoice. The man was in prison.
Right.
Not with a TV.
Yeah.
And a weight room. And three warm meals. No, he had rats, urine, and feces.
Yep. Yep.
And he's writing to the Philippian church, rejoice.
Yeah. Wow.
Whew.
Wow.
Glory to God. Verse 17. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time, mockers of God, mockers of truth, mockers of common sense, mockers of authority, mockers of Jesus, mockers of Christians. Come on. Are you? I don't know if you're tracking with me or not. Mocking, making fun of anything decent.
Yep.
Disney mocks good morals.
Yep.
They believe in a wizard mouse more than a wise God.
That's true.
Come on.
Right? So you hate Disney? No, I don't hate Disney. I just don't believe in the mouse being a wizard. I believe in a wise God, a Holy Ghost God. I'd rather talk to the church mouse than the Disney mouse, because at least the church mouse knows what the anointing is like. How they told you there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. That describes our culture. These are sensual persons who cause divisions. Why? Not having the Spirit. Spiritless people. What's the root of the problem? It's not their lust. What's the root of the problem? It's not their political party. What's the root of the problem? It's not LGBTQ. What's the root of the problem? It's not money. What's the root of the problem? It's not church. What's the root of the problem? It's not Democrat. What's the root of the problem? It's not Republican. What's the root of the problem? It's not Trump. What's the root of the problem? It's not Obama. The root of the problem is a spiritless America. They don't have the Spirit. They go to church sometimes, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. But you, beloved, how do you counter all this? How do you help your kids counter all this? It's staring us in the face. How do we counter this, God? He's telling you, but you, beloved. Number one, you got to know you're loved. Say it out loud. I'm loved. I be loved. Right? I be loved. You need to get up north and say, I be loved. Glory to God. You know, try this on for size. You know, God first loved us. So instead of just saying, I love you, God, wake up tomorrow and say, I love you too. Say it out loud. I love you too. Amen? But you, beloved, do what? Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Ooh. If you're born again, you have most holy faith. The faith that's in you is most holy. It's most holy. Notice it didn't say most holy law keeping. Most holy faith. How do you build yourself up on your most holy faith? Praying. Praying how? In the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves, see, it's a continuation, in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. In the midst of all this perversion, make sure that you have the Holy Spirit, and not just have the Holy Spirit, but take advantage of the Holy Spirit by you, beloved, building yourself up constantly. How? By you praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you want to know, how do you know when you're praying in the Spirit and when you aren't? Good. I thank you for that hand. We're going to close here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God. Thank you for the love of the Father. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling us with your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us this prayer language where we can guard ourselves in this sensual, mocking world that's walking according to their own lust. You gave us the answer for our children, for our grandchildren, for us. We can pray in the Holy Ghost and build ourselves up by praying much in the Holy Ghost and keeping ourselves in the love of God in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. We can keep ourselves full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God.
Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. How do you know when you're praying in the Holy Spirit? The Bible tells you, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands him, however, in the Spirit. He speaks mysteries. You want to know how to pray in the Spirit every day, every time, every hour? Receive the Holy Spirit, receive your prayer language, and begin out of your spirit to pray much in tongues. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. It's a temoreke jimana. Yana upilite, kete la costa, eskita boce te kicho o prate, asela, asela comanda. Yeah, it's rising. The flood is rising. The tide is rising. The body is rising. Many are coming to know the Holy Spirit, says the Father. And I'm pleased and I'm delighted. And the river of my presence is flowing from the throne and flowing into your own spirit and flowing. And the tide is rising in the east. The tide is rising in Africa, says the Father. The tide is rising in South America, says the Spirit of God. The tide is rising in dark places. And now I declare the tide is rising among you. It's rising in you. It's rising among you. So yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Word of God. Cast aside any religious teaching, any doctrinal teaching that doesn't agree with my written Word. And come and receive the Holy Spirit, says the Spirit of grace. Come and be filled with the Spirit and pray much in the Spirit, and you'll find you'll be the answer rather than the annoyed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and thank the Lord. Come on. Come on. You got your prayer language. Just pray a little bit in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Stand up right where you are. Glory to God. We bless you. Hallelujah. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, if you want us to pray with you or talk with you or help you receive the Holy Spirit, that's different than being born again. You can be born again and on your way to heaven, but you haven't yet received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You'll go to heaven when you die, but God wants you to have power right now on earth. He wants you to be a difference maker. He wants you to be countercultural. He wants you to be a man and a woman that knows how to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Sure, Lord, I'll do it that way. Sure, sure. I've never had, it's been a long time. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. We'll do it this way. We'll do it this way. Praise God. How many in here, you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Well, just that, I'm not looking at hands. I'm looking out there. All right, put your hands down. Just to make sure, Romans chapter 10, verse 10, says if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. Amen. Well, it can't be that easy. Well, it is. The Bible says it is. Jesus did the hard part. So just say this out loud. I do believe with all of my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. And I confess with my mouth, my voice, that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. I receive you right now as my Lord and Savior. And by faith, according to the Word of God, I am born again. Now lift your hands and thank God for that. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah. Going to heaven. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Not going to hell. Yeah. Woo. Amen. But the Bible says there's more. Yeah. There's the gift of the Holy Spirit that belongs to His children. And you just prayed, so you're one of His children. All right? So pray this out loud. Heavenly Father, it's my right to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking supernaturally in unknown tongues. I'm asking, give me that gift. By faith, I receive the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Thank you. I'm now Spirit-filled. By faith. Woo! Come on. He said, if you ask, He'll give. Somebody said, well, I don't feel anything. Quit trying to feel the Holy Spirit. Believe the Bible. Now that you've received the Holy Spirit, you now have the ability to speak with tongues. But He won't make you move your mouth. He will never force you. God's a gentleman. But if you'll by faith begin to, open your mouth, move your lips, move your tongue, move your vocal cords by faith, I guarantee you that those syllables will be supernatural. The Holy Spirit will take a hold of them, and he will convert them into a real spiritual language that God understands, angels excited about, and the devil's looking at you like, what in the world are you doing? Hallelujah. So on the count of three, you're ready to act by faith. Come on, everybody, you're ready to act by faith. Hallelujah. It's going to come out of your belly. It's going to come out of your belly. Father, I thank you for filling everyone right now. I thank you those that aren't filled are being filled right now. Out of their belly is coming a river of the Holy Spirit right now. Rivers of the Holy Spirit, come upon them right now. Move upon their vocal cords right now. Move upon their tongue, their throat, their lips, their jaw. Move upon them now. Lord, begin to flow out of them now. Fill them all the way up so that out of their belly, out of their spirit, flows rivers of living water in the name of Jesus. Now on the count of three, I want you to stop speaking English and begin to pray syllables by faith, trusting God to anoint that. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3. Begin to pray right now. Come on, yield to the Lord. Those of you who are filled ought to be praying boldly right now. Come on, give those syllables utter. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah, Rabba Selemama. Hambre vida cola, nan galarabola, nan brada vashala, ye kona masila boto to 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 toa, hale jaba vado do. Come on, another 30 seconds. Ki nini sara, de la rabo, let it come out of you. Let it come out of you till you hear it. She rogasi, labra nasi, lambra nasi. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you. Rabba, dela, shela, tola, sia, kia. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now praise him with your own, out of your mind. Praise him in English. Praise him in English. Praise him in English. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. Out of your mind, praise him in English. Praise God. Lord, we bless you. We honor you. We magnify you. You're Lord of lords. You're King of kings. You're the God Almighty, Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the name. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the word. Now hook your tongue back up with your spirit again and begin to magnify him in tongues. Elanasai. Elanasai. Be bold about it. Hallelujah. Karababola, Salarabila, Salashananda, Gelena Morola, ha ha, Orabile Rebesi, Vrano, no lo chekai. Oh, glory, Brada Saranga, ha ha, hallelujah. Herababo Salarashe, yay God, yay God, yay God, broke te seto suto pofreti kisiti pechi kiti. Hallelujah. Yeah. So make it.
Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost.
Mera sesh deity. Maste keji. Bora stesh de keji. Mero to stesh de. Meto koraste bedi. Yeah. Porasta jiki. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I think that's a tongue to be given, I think. Father, we thank you. Thank you. That's all I can say. Thank you for the Holy Spirit.
Yes, thank you, Father.
And Holy Spirit, thank you for helping us to pray what we can't pray on our own.
Yes.
We just want to say thank you for every person that got born again today.
Yes.
Thank you for every person that was received the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And if they didn't speak with tongues, Satan, you will not lie to them and say they didn't receive. They did. They just need to yield.
Amen.
Yield to that language. Tonight, I believe, Lord, if they'll just lay in bed quietly tonight, get real quiet. Say, Lord, I'm going to speak those syllables to you by faith. That language will flow. It'll flow. It'll be an intimate, beautiful language to your Father. So do not be robbed or condemned. You asked for the Holy Spirit today. You asked for the Spirit of God. And did I not say in my word, if you would ask me, I would give him to you? So I've done my part. You've done your part. You're now filled and you've now received the Holy Spirit, says the Father. So now, in times of intimacy, just slip on over into that realm and begin to whisper those syllables of the Holy Spirit that come out of the deepest part of you. And it'll be fellowship, and you'll be healed in your mind and your body, and there'll be fellowship. And you'll be restored to a place and put in a place, says the Spirit of God, that you've not been heretofore. But today is a good day. And today, my throne, and I am rejoicing, for you've received the very gift that my Son died to give you. So rejoice and be glad and skip on your way and say, I received the Holy Spirit today. I've received my gift from the Father. I got my inheritance today. I'm a rich daughter. I'm a rich son. I'm blessed to be a blessing. In Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord praise. Amen.